Hey there, fiends. Toon Dragomir here with another classic Rumog radio broadcast from the boss. Let's open up. Hang in. What do we got? Here we go. Bill Lustig. Perfect hit and a happening from June 20th, 2008. Well, that sounds just great. Join us next week for a brand new broadcast. And until you do, well, this old one will have to do. Till then, friends. Adios.
Welcome, kiddies. It's amazing that you boars and ghouls keep coming back for more. You must be gluttons for punishment. Well, I guess you bloodsuckers enjoy being repulsed. You're loyal to the gore. Well, that's good. We don't want any dead wood in our fraternity of fright fans.
Rob Zombie.
Get out there and make it look good.
Yeah, well, she's a downtown, not a gambling green. If it's a chicken dog in a movie, a long hair baby got a wrecking machine.
Believe in the boogeyman.
Rumog Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
The big double horror show of the year.
Hello? Hello?
Hello! Do, do, do. And welcome to Rumorg Radio. I'm your host, as always, Tomb Dragomir.
He stalks the city through the dark of night. He has powers more terrible than any man who ever lived.
Yeah, that's right. This week on the broadcast.
We were trying to locate those missing scenes. We found a can in a warehouse in Italy, which had the cut scenes that were cut perfectly intact with the audio and everything. Poof! And something falls into your lap.
Director of Maniac, Bill Lustig returns to talk a little Blue Underground. Our blood-spattered guide finds out if Eartha Kitt's dead or alive.
Eartha wasn't the first or the most famous Catwoman, but she certainly brought a new level of villainy. You might even say her distinctive voice and personality was perfect.
And the caustic critics check out M. Night Shyamalan's latest, The Happening.
What's going on?
We lost contact.
With whom?
Everyone.
The Happening, a film by M. Night Shyamalan.
We just have to be alive when it's over.
Hey, yeah, Terror Tunes 2, the ones in a musical brew for you. It's Apocalyptica, Necro, Violent Femmes, John Masari, The Other, and tons more fun to come. My fiends, this is Rumored Radio. Let's go with Square the Circle. Send them all to hell.
The bells are ringing, the people are singing, praying to the Lord. The preacher is preaching the golden rules of Jesus, love and hope. But out through the doorway, they cannot remember too well. But God about to love, they never send them all to hell.
Rather kill. Oh God, about to love, then you'll send them all to hell. Oh God, about to It all begins as a summer vacation. A young family finds a beautiful old house. It could be the answer to their dreams.
So you are the people who want to rent this house.
Well, you mean it's $900 and then it's all ours?
Or the beginning of a nightmare.
Marion!
Burnt Offerings, starring Karen Black.
Are you actually trying to tell me that this house is responsible?
Oliver Reed.
This house is destroying us.
Oh, God!
Betty Davis.
This house is getting so cold.
Burgess Meredith.
This house will be here long, long after you have departed, you believe me?
Eileen Heckert.
When it comes alive, tell them what it's like.
The Other. The Murder in the House of Wax.
Tonight, tonight.
This is Alex from Massachusetts, and you're listening to Room Org Radio.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way. It's just that they don't know when to stop. They never know when to stop. That's why they have to be stopped. It is, you're right. You're right. But not like that. Not that way. Please. They'll take you away from me. You have to be careful. You have to listen to me. We can't live like this. I have to go out. And each time it's like this. I get so scared that they'll take you away. But they won't. If you do what I say, they won't take you away. Not ever. Not ever, I swear. Not ever.
All right, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden, it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is feedback with part two of my interview with the director of Maniac, Mr. Bill Lustig. In this excerpt, I ask Mr. Lustig about some of the inner workings of his legendary DVD imprint, Blue Underground. So let's talk about the current state of Blue Underground. I read recently that you're sort of slowing down acquiring new titles. Is that true?
Well, yes, only because... Blue Underground is in the business of putting out primarily classic genre films, which is not a renewable resource. Mm-hmm. And so I either have to go into the new competitive film business, or just take my library, which I consider to be perhaps one of the best libraries of genre films, and repurpose it for other media. So my focus right now has been in repurposing the library for Blu-ray, and that's presented a whole new set of challenges, and it's also quite costly.
It involves remastering every single...
Not every... Fortunately, a lot of the A titles we already mastered in high definition, but it's still quite expensive and it's quite involved. I mean, just every little detail. I mean, down to subtitles have to be redone for reformatted for HD. I mean, just everything has, it's a very peculiar format, and I'm going through the learning curve just as I did at the beginning of DVD.
What will be some of the first Blue Underground Blu-ray releases?
Well, coming out in October will be The Final Countdown, followed by Bird with the Crystal Plumage and Stendhal Syndrome in November. And then I think January will either be, I'm talking January 09, will either be Fire and Ice or Maniac. I'm not sure.
The Argento films, Anchor Bay just released a bunch of them. Do they still have a lot of films that you have the licenses to that will eventually revert back to you, like films like Tenebrae and Phenomena?
No, actually what happened with Tenebrae and Phenomena and Demons 2, the licenses did revert back to me, but the original materials on those films were really, I thought, subpar, and it would have required a rather large investment on my part to go back and redo all of the work on them. And I also knew the condition of the materials weren't very good. And in the case of Tenebrae, the negative on that movie was cut. So I knew that I couldn't even really do the kind of proper transfer that I wanted to do. So basically, I never renewed my license with my licensor of the film. And so Anchor Bay came in and licensed that film with my blessing.
Okay.
They licensed that four-film package.
So this Tenebrae is cut, this new one that they...
No, I think what they did is they basically went back to the old transfer that I had done and insert the material that's been cut from the negative.
Oh, okay.
I'm not exactly sure. I know that they had problems and they asked if they could borrow my master. So I assume they might they used it, but Tenebrae was a really tragic thing because they cut the negative on it and disposed of that material.
How does that happen? You always hear these stories.
There's actually a very good story behind it. Yeah. A very big politician, Berlusconi, his wife was one of the actresses in Tenebrae. And she was the one who gets her hand cut off and sprays the wall with blood and all the rest of that.
Which one is she?
She's in the scene. I know that she's the one who gets her hand cut off. And she had some nudity in the film and stuff.
The big bosom one with the breast that keeps popping out of the robe?
I'm not sure. You know, it's been so long since I've seen the movie. But I know that his wife, in the way she was depicted in that movie, was not how a politician wanted his wife to be depicted. Okay. And so he had bought the film out of the bankruptcy, because those four films were in a bankruptcy. And he cut the negative. He ordered the negative cut, primarily for scenes involving his wife.
Man, this prudishness is interfering with my perversity.
I know, it was a very bizarre thing, and the negative is nowhere to be found.
But you always hear these stories. The negative gets cut, the elements get discarded, and, you know, then it becomes like an incredible detective job for an individual like yourself to track it down.
It is. Sometimes you get lucky. I mean, it's weird things have happened. We had a movie that was cut called Django Kill, a spaghetti western. And we were trying to locate those missing scenes, and then all of a sudden, we found a can in a warehouse in Italy, which had the cut scenes that were cut perfectly intact with the audio and everything. So there were times you're surprised that you even could find the stuff. You're already prepared to do something like take it from an old VHS or do, you know, to fill in the holes, and then poof, all of a sudden something falls into your lap. It's enormously frustrating because, look, most people in the, you know, most movies from the 70s, 60s, I would say up through the 80s were kind of looked upon as being disposable. Once they were played on television, that was considered the life of the movie. So even the studios didn't start preservation of their films until like the 80s. And so they, you know, they were letting their stuff all deteriorate. So, you know, film preservation is really a pretty recent, you know, thing. You know, it's a pretty recent conscious thing. And so that's the trouble. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things just disappeared.
Do you get a thrill, like a detective sort of thrill out of tracking down the elements?
Well, it was fun because when we were revved up and doing all the Anchor Bay titles, I had an office with a multilingual employees. So we were tracking down stuff all over the world. I mean, I had someone who spoke Italian, Cantonese, and Mandarin. I had someone else who spoke French and German. I had another one who spoke Spanish. Another one who spoke a little bit of French. So I was. So we were like involved with all of these countries and finding it, you know, looking for materials and sending out emails. But what I found, I would get the best responses when I would send an email in the native tongue, because I think the arrogance of sending it in English, you know, is not as effective as when you can send a fluent, well-written email or fax or something in Italian or whoever you're trying to communicate with.
So you're known for these, like, incredibly loving treatments of the films, and does that sometimes get frustrating for you to live up to that?
It would be more frustrating for me if I wasn't trying to do the best. Frustration for me is mediocrity. For me, whether I'm directing a movie or doing a DVD or doing a commentary or doing anything, to me it's all about trying to achieve excellence. I may not always be able to do it, but it's always my goal is to do the very best. And to me, anything less than that is frustrating.
For more information about Blue Underground, go to the website at www.blue-underground.com.
I I told you not to go out tonight.
You are about to face the screen's most horrifying challenge.
I see something.
It's your wife.
No, let's get out of here. Somebody out there.
You are about to face... Maniac. Tonight won't be like other nights. Tonight, terror is waiting. Something's out there. Vicious, without pity. Turning the air thick with fear. A madman's out there, a step too quick, dangerously strong, and your blood will stain the dark streets. You are about to experience horror more real than anything you could ever imagine.
I told you not to go out tonight.
You're about to experience Maniac. He'll tear the life out of you.
Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you. Oh, can you see? You belong to me, my heart aches, every step you take. And since you've been gone, gone without a trace, when I dream at night, I only see your face. And so I look around for what I can't replace. I feel so cold, 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 and long for your embrace.
Oh, can you see? You belong to me. My heart is every step you take.
Every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you.
I've been watching you. I've been watching you. I've been watching you. I've been watching you.
Yeah, Violent Femmes. A little game called Dead or Alive coming up in the Blood Spatter Guide. And tons more fun to come on the world's original all-horror broadcast. Putting the rad back into the radio. It's the Room Org. We're back at you in 2&T. Stick around.
Something's not right.
There's nothing wrong with your eyes.
I'm seeing things that aren't real.
Jessica Alba, In the Eye.
I'm seeing things I shouldn't see.
Buy the 2-disc special edition DVD or Blu-ray June 3rd. Includes digital copy for your iTunes or Windows compatible player. Rated PG-13 for violent stare and disturbing content.
Necro. Mutilate the beast.
Mutilate the beast. My character traits I consider attractive. Hate bitterness proactive. A blaze greediness transform activate. Like a general official hit you with an enemy missile. My extended pistol is beneficial to the issue. I'm hot tempered, the red dot centered. Leave you shot and dismembered, your blood clot, you got dented. Spiritual healing, satanic, walking on ceilings. Walk the pill cold like a corpse, no feeling. Gang territorial, squeeze a banger at you in a state of euphoria. Leave you bleeding like Fangoria. Skis and evil Longoria. Slaughter ya, get gorier than Korea. See ya, bedridden, head bitten by a kitten. Bred with rabies, shit now. Out red, left dead sitting. Lacking awareness in all fairness. You whack clapped and left physically impaired. Pissed, see a therapist. It's natural for me to flip. Come at you with a bat and split your head open. I catch you with a clip. The 44 Magnum spit magnanimous. Kill you like Euronymous. Then walk off anonymous. I'm out from McLaren rebel. You're on the low Baron level. With a piece of shit on your head like Aaron Neville. Forever death like Trevor Perez. If my endeavors are slept on, nevertheless, sever the flesh. You gotta die. Walls of the Bible do not apply. Say goodbye to my rivals if you try to comply. Assault ya. Rude behavior. Flavor. Like salt on your food. Enslave ya. I'm the ultimate subdued. The sinning atheist, demented, winning sadist. I can see the inner traces of resentment on your faces. A proper amount of fucked up lines you can't possibly count. Fuck up your spine with a 9 shot to the ground. Mutilate the beat.
Mutilate the beat.
of my intellect allow me to kill you in a sack. Fill you up with Percocet, power drill you in the neck. Brilliantly like when Quentin directs, the quintessential villain in effect. Chin check you diligently. Good hearted till the hood scarred it. I wish you would start it, spark it. The death of you we can mark it. A bad dude with an attitude like Zab dude. I'll pull a gat on you, give you a stab tattoo. You worship idols, grip your titles, rip your vitals. Gripping tools, attack like fighting bulls. My motivating factors to kill like operating track. The trail is drunk as a sailor, motor skills nil. My crooked path is straight. Took her on a date, making a hook of masturbate with my 38. My machete, you slash your deep gashes. Your heart beats faster, get ready to meet your master. Mutilate the beat.
This is Bobby Steele of the Undead, and you're listening to Rumorg Radio.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Catwoman and Joker arrive at the Phony Island Lighthouse, formerly a busy bastion of light, but now almost inoperative.
Look for something marked with an X.
I found it! I found the rock with the X mark!
Good. From here on in, it should be a piece of cake. Now, 50 meters south and 50 feet left.
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa LaRussa with your blood-spattered guide to music on Rumorg Radio. You know, after listening to all that Bo Diddley last week, I've been in a kind of oldies music mood, which got me thinking it would be a good time for another installment of my favorite new game here, Dead or Alive.
Couldn't really say if he was dead or alive. No one really knew if he was dead or alive. No one really knew if he was dead or alive. No one really knew if he was dead or alive.
Now, I know you could just Google it. I know you could find out the answer faster than I even give you the name. But you don't really want to do that, because then I have to get out the cat suit and the bullwhip and come to your house and administer some kind of blood splattery judgment. So why don't you just step away, back off from the mouse for a few minutes and come with me to find out whatever happened to that sinister sex kitten, Eartha Kitt.
I've posed for pictures with ivory soap. I've petted stray dogs and shied clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my unspoiled gender.
Eartha Kitt, the American singer and actress, was born in 1927 in South Carolina. She came into this world, Eartha Mae Keith, of mixed race and out of wedlock. Not a good thing to be in 1920s America, but this girl was special, and she made her way to New York City, where she became a performer, and this is where Eartha Kitt was born. Orson Welles called her the most exciting woman in the world. And maybe she was. She was certainly one of the most exciting on television, and not just because she was one of the only blacks in prime time. It was 1967 when Eartha Kitt joined the cast of a popular television show based on a comic book, when she became Catwoman.
This is Catwoman. C-A-T-W-O-M-A-N. They're good men, Joker. Perfect aids de camp for our evil crime spree, don't you think?
Oh, perfect, Catwoman. Oh, and speaking of evil crime sprees?
Shall I catalog it for you, Joker?
Categorically, Catwoman.
Then cast your eyes on this.
Eartha wasn't the first or the most famous Catwoman on the Batman TV show, but she certainly brought a new level of villainy to the role. You might even say her distinctive voice and personality was perfect.
I purloined it from the library. It was written by Garcomo Tease, the famous crook, and it's a clue to £1 million of gunpowder he stole and hid somewhere in the environs of Gotham City.
Oh, now you're talking. £1 million of anything is a lot.
We're going to find that gunpowder and blow a hole in the Federal Depository building you can drive a truck through. Then drive a truck through and loot the place.
And then she did something many Americans thought too evil to endure. At the White House, in front of the First Lady, Eartha Kitt made a few statements against the Vietnam War. And that was it. She was essentially blacklisted. The CIA had a file on her. She exiled herself to Europe to continue working until the mid-80s when she returned to the American charts with a disco hit called Where Is My Man? And that's pretty much the last I'd heard of Eartha Kitt over 25 years ago. So is she dead or is she alive? Eartha Kitt is 81 years old and still performing.
She's alive! Alive!
She has a successful voice acting career in animated films and made her mark as the Wicked Witch of the West in a theatrical production of The Wizard of Oz. There are only a couple genre pictures in her filmography, unless you count Ernest Scared Stupid, which I don't.
Pretty soon kids won't have to worry about eating their Brussels sprouts because the Brussels sprouts will be eating them. Quick, throw away!
She was in a 1990 film about necrophilia called Living Doll, although that was just a cameo. More recently, Eartha appeared in the TV adaptation of the Anne Rice novel Feast of All Saints, playing a very wicked role indeed. The really good news is that Eartha is singing right now in New York City. She has a residency at the Carlisle Hotel Cafe this month, so if you want to dress up nice, drop some dough, and experience a real old-time jazz sensation in the flesh, you should do so. We don't know how long Eartha Kitt is going to be around. And if you can't make it to Manhattan, here's a classic from the sinister, seductive voice of Eartha Kitt, I Wanna Be Evil.
I've been made Miss Rheingold, though I never touch beer. And I'm the person to whom they say, you're sweet, my dear. The only etchings I've seen have been behind glass, and the closest I've been to a bar was at ballet class. Prim and proper. The girl who's never been cased. Well, I'm tired of being pure and not chaste. Like something that seeks its level, I wanna go to the devil, wanna be evil. I wanna spit tax. I wanna be evil and cheat at jacks. I wanna be wicked. I wanna tell lies. I wanna be mean and throw mud pies. I want to wake up in the morning with that dark brown taste. I wanna see some dissipation in my face. I wanna be evil. I wanna be mad. But more than that, I wanna be bad. I wanna be evil and trump an ace, just to see my partner's face. I wanna be nasty. I wanna be cruel. I wanna be daring. I wanna shoot pool. And in the theater, I want to change my seat, just so I can step on everybody's feet. I wanna be evil. I wanna hurt for lies. I wanna sing songs like the guy who cries. I wanna be horrid. I wanna drink booze. And whatever I've got, I am eager to lose. I wanna be evil, little evil me, just as mean and evil as I can be.
Life burns on Rumored Radio.
Yeah, fire, 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 yeah.
We break our enemies with fear. We've seen how the tears come around. We built our confidence on wasteland. We've seen how the walls come down.
Life burns.
And the dark.
Stanton LaVey, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio. Hail Satan.
Science will come up with some reason to put in the books. But in the end, it'll be just a theory. We will fail to acknowledge that there are forces at work beyond our understanding.
The Happening, a film by M. Night Shyamalan.
We just have to be alive when it's over.
Rated R.
The Caustic Critics.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critics.
They're here.
All right, this is Feedback.
This is John Bowen.
It's been a while since we've reviewed any theatrical releases here on Rue Morgue Radio for a couple of reasons. One, there's not been really much of note in the last couple of months.
Christ,
There's not been much that's really excited the general sort of fan community. And secondly, I'm getting to a point now where going to see a current theatrical release is about as appealing to me as going in for a colonoscopy. And in fact, I would have rather had a fucking microscopic camera shoved up my arse than witnessed what I did this past Sunday, which will forever be known as Black Sunday. I'm talking about a screening of M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's latest abortion of a flick, The Happening.
Hi, I'm M. Night Shyamalan.
There appears to be an event happening.
And I kind of thought about the movie in terms of The Exorcist and The Godfather and movies where there was very visceral, graphic moments in the movie. It felt like just the perfect thing to do.
Tell me what you really think about this movie.
I fucking hated it. That's what I thought about it. I'm continually aghast at this character, this M. Night Shyamalamadinga Roodle Doodle fucking dude.
Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding.
When this movie opens, during the opening credit sequence, on the orchestral score, when his name appears on the screen for the first time, there's this massive groundswell. Like, we're supposed to be really excited that this is yet another incredibly inept offering from this overblown, egomaniacal, ridiculously untalented, terrible movie director that is M. Night Shyamalamadingapuddle.
Shyamalamadingdong. Do you like anything he's ever done?
I haven't seen everything he's done, actually. Okay. And there's one that eludes me to this day that everyone I know says is actually quite good, The Unbreakable.
I haven't seen that one either. I've seen...
Let's assume it's good.
Yeah, assuming it's good. Everybody loves it. Absolutely.
Like, improve The Happening or his last film, Lady in the Water, which we reviewed here on Rue Morgue Radio, by the way. This is a terrible director. He has no concept at all of how to draw a convincing performance from any of his actors. In the case of The Happening, poor Marky Mark Wahlberg. First of all, he's terribly miscast as a school teacher who's caught up in this weird situation that happens where basically the plant vegetation on the east coast of America revolts against humanity and produces this weird chemical reaction in people where they just en masse want to commit suicide.
I don't know if any of you guys have heard about this article in the New York Times. Well, apparently, honeybees are just disappearing all over the country. Tens of millions of them. All right, let's hear some theories about why this might be happening.
And poor Marky Mark, man, like, it's agonizing to watch him mince and grimace his way through this film. It's just such an awkward performance.
Nobody? You're not interested in what happened to the bees?
I agree, he's often miscast. I didn't think he was so woefully miscast here as he has been in a lot of other stuff. And I mean,
Were you awake when you watched the film?
What's that?
Were you awake? Do you watch a matinee?
It was an early evening, so I was fully conscious through
so
the
your
entire
senses,
fucking thing.
You were in command
thing
of
is
your
you
senses.
Can only play Dirk Diggler once in a lifetime. Everything else is going to be uphill or downhill from that.
Now I'm looking forward to seeing you in action. Jack says you've got a great big cock.
Well, I don't know. I guess so.
May I see it?
Really?
Please.
he's a type of actor that you got to cast carefully. And
oh, yeah, I know.
Put him in as a sort of everyman school teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
In this.
No.
And it's not just that he was miscast. It's like the lines that he is given are just chronic, as is every other character.
Maybe
in this
film. I was just impressed that he kept his shirt on through the entire movie. In fact, he's got, I believe, a shirt over a T-shirt on, which is just fucking unheard of. The thing about M. Night Shyamalan, I think this guy is a staggering talent. Even the most staggering talents tend to go off the rails. Look at Mike Tyson. Look at everything Paul McCartney did after the Beatles. Look at Chris Alexander.
Argento, no matter what you think of him, ain't a pretentious schmuck like M. Night Shyamalan-ding-a-dong-doo.
Okay. And
Chris
look
Alexander
at Lady
lives
in the Water.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris
look,
Alexander lives on.
Look at Lady in the Water. I mean, that was the film I was always afraid that Shyamalan was going to make if he got in over his head. There were a lot of great people in that film, and there were some great ideas, but it was completely squandered. For me, this at least is a big step up from there. It's far from his best work, but it didn't have me yelling abuse at the screen, which Lady in the Water did.
All right, so I agree it's a step up from Lady in the Water, only insofar as there are shreds of moments that vaguely suggest some form of entertainment, and that is during the instances where there are the mass suicides, and they happen kind of periodically throughout the film. Some of them are absolutely ridiculous. Some of them are kind of interestingly mesmerizing. And that's about it. Basically, you have a couple of little money shot sequences thrown in around there. Everything else that surrounds it, all the actors, all the performances, the characters, the general situation that they're thrown in, it's completely meaningless. For a film that's called The Happening, it's quite remarkable that nothing actually happens. These people are just basically wandering around in the woods trying to avoid, a cross current of the wind so that the chemicals don't impinge upon them.
Well, okay, it is the second worst title of all time.
All right. You know, I have to ask you, what's the first?
Oh, I don't know. I'm giving this one the benefit of the doubt. Somewhere in the known universe, there is a worse title than The Happening.
Right.
Somewhere in the known universe, there's a worse song than Total Eclipse of the Heart. That's
okay.
That's my
right.
yardstick here.
All right.
Where do you stand on the Betty Buckley sequence, which Dave here was pointing out that it's basically
brutal.
Like a short film in the middle of it. You didn't even like that?
No, man.
Oh,
that was why I wish I had gone out for popcorn.
I thought
man.
I was a jaundiced motherfucker, but Jesus Christ. Did you notice the blatant nod to Suspiria? I don't want to do spoilers here, but
M. Night Shim Shimmery Shim Shimmeroo fucking spoils it for himself. Spoils it for everybody. Spoils the art of movie making for humanity.
I think you spoiled this one for yourself before you went into the fucking
That's
theater.
Not true. That's not true at all. I'll tell you, the only saving grace about going to see The Happening was as soon as the film was done, I snuck in to see The Incredible Hulk, which is surprisingly a very entertaining and remarkable little film. And I'd much rather review that than this fucking piece of M. Night Shyamalamadinga-doodle fucking pile of fucking rubbish.
Rubbish is so much better when you roll the R, isn't it?
Rubbish. There aren't enough R's in the English language to fucking emphasize what a complete, utter pile of shit this fucking movie is.
This is not the triumphant return of M. Night Shyamalan-da-bang-da-bang-diggy-diggy-diggy said the boogie said drop the boogie. But I think we've done the right thing because, you know what, we could have just sat here and made fun of his name.
That would be cheap.
Yeah, that's beneath us.
Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. Turn around, right eye. Turn around, right eye.
This can't be fucking happening!
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. The tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow, no tomorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad, the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take, when people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
This is Tomb Dragomir, signing off, fiends. Until next time, good night.
That's what you say, Batman. But I say we'll never see the inside of a prison again.
We're certainly never going to see the inside of the Federal Depository and all that dough.
Maybe later, Joker. But for now, I want benefit of counsel.
That's certainly your privilege, Catwoman.
Can I make my one phone call?
Just don't try any of your old tricks.
Who are you calling?
Lucky Pierre, the world's greatest and luckiest criminal attorney. He's never lost a case.
Is it a toll call?
No, only local.
M. Night Shaw with a bar, the bang, the bang, diggy, 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 said the boogie, said I drop the boogie.
Bar with the bar, the bang, the bang, diggy, 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 said the boogie, said I drop the boogie. Bar with the bar, the bang, the bang, diggy, 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 said the boogie, said I drop the boogie.
Ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding-dong, ram-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-lam-a-ding.
M. Night Shyamalan.